Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz fall in game one of the first round of the playoffs, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Paul George was absolutely remarkable. The Jazz defense was unable to slow them down. Did they do enough against Westbrook? And what can the Jazz do offensively? Those are all the things we'll talk about coming up on Postcast. Well, Ron, let's go start big picture on this one. What's your feeling as you leave this game right now?
Well, my feeling is I'm not disappointed how the Jazz played. What I'd like to see, though, is for the Jazz to attack the areas that they talked about attacking. I didn't think they went. I thought maybe they may have deviated a little bit from their game plan, but I'm not really disappointed with the way the Jazz played. I mean, your goal is to at least try to get one when you're on the road. And they still have a chance to get that second ball game.
So when this series started, the people kept asking me, a seven-game series, and everyone's, I don't see it that way. I see this as what I thought I saw, and maybe we proved it tonight, unfortunately. I expect this to be a short series, because either one or two narratives is going to be right. A great defensive team with a collective offense is really good, or playoffs are stars. Tonight, playoffs were stars. If Paul George has that kind of night, or unfortunately if Russell Westbrook has that kind of night, like, I don't think you can beat them.
Well, you might have something there, because from what we are understanding, and this is not just coming from us or the coaching staff, I mean, this is what everyone is saying, that this team was built for the playoffs. We're talking about management for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, these guys have had all year long to work out how to play together. What they're doing now is a lot better than what we saw at the beginning of the year. They've accepted the fact that Westbrook plays a certain way, and they just had to figure out how to play with him. Not Westbrook having to figure out how to play with Carmelo Anthony or Paul George. So defensively, the Jazz will have to figure out a way to stop those guys. Normally, I would say stop one of those guys, but I don't think one's enough. I think we need to slow down two of those guys and force them to use, you know, some portions of their bench.
I would argue that they stopped Russell Westbrook tonight. I know that sounds crazy, but really, Russell Westbrook got two fast break dunks. I don't think he got another field goal in the restricted area. Uh-huh. If you're taking that away from him with the force that he plays with, he didn't hit a three. He went 10 of 25 shooting. That's until he got assist happy late. He threw most of the game. He had five assists. So you took away Westbrook at the rim. You took away Westbrook's passing. That's as well as I think you can play Russell Westbrook. That's what's a little unnerving is maybe, I guess you can't expect Paul George to do this every night. If he does, then you just tip your hat.
Yeah, and hopefully he doesn't. And I totally agree. Westbrook is obviously the snake, the head of the snake, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, if you can slow him down, just keep him out of the 20s maybe. He's always going to rebound. But, you know, if you keep him out of the 20s and force someone else to beat you other than Paul George, you know, you have a chance of beating this team. I just really not disappointed for the most part the way the Jazz really played tonight. I'm disappointed with maybe defensively.
Did the Jazz in some way fail how they were defending Paul George to let Paul George go 13 of 20 of 36 points?
You know, I'm sure they'll come back with a different game plan. And whatever game plan they had tonight obviously didn't work. I know when we were talking to the coaches, or Igor, yesterday, we didn't spend a lot of time on Paul George. And so we really don't know what their philosophy was on how or what they wanted to do with Paul George. But I think right now he's going to be the main focus. I don't think Carmelo Anthony is a person that they should spend a lot of time, because he didn't get to the basket one time. Everything was a jump shot, and Paul George is one that can do a lot more. So I think Carmelo Russell Westbrook and Paul George is the ones they should focus on.
At one point tonight, the Jazz went totally out of their defensive scheme because Paul George was so hot. They started double-teaming him and trying to, get the ball out of his hands, and they moved, and give the Thunder credit. That bench unit was on the floor, moved the ball beautifully, got Abrines back-to-back threes. That was a bit of the backbreaker. The biggest concern I saw tonight, Ron, was Joe Ingles. No point, no rebounds, and no assists in the first half. Paul George completely eliminated him from the game, which, you know what, frankly, Paul George is athletically so superior, longer, taller than Joe Ingles, that maybe that's the reality, but that's a little unnerving to me because Joe Ingles is pretty darn important, and I'll be honest, if I was game planning for the Jazz and I don't have Andre Roberson, so I only have one great defender in Paul George, I'm putting Paul George on Joe Ingles, letting Donovan Mitchell do what he did tonight and saying, the Joe Ingles, Derek Favors pick and roll is not happening. I am not letting Joe Ingles go.
Yeah, that's a great point and a great smart, I think, for Coach Donovan to do just that, especially if you have Paul George who's trying to punk or just trying to scare or get Joe Ingles out of his comfort zone and thinking more about him than his game. Then you know, then it works. So that's the reason I was saying to you, I'd like to see Joe Ingles just take a shot right back at Paul George, take one good foul, let him know I'm here and I'm not going anywhere.
So Paul George punks Joe Ingles on the first play of the game in Salt Lake. I put it up on Lockdown Sports. So they were at each other in the first quarter. What was going on between them throughout the first quarter?
Well, you said one's trying to get an edge, and obviously the edge went in favor of Paul George strictly because Paul George has the offensive game to back up his theatrics out there on the floor. So, but Joe can come back. I mean, he can come back. Good ball movement, and I think he started to attack a little bit more. I think in the second half, what did he score in the second half? He ended up with 13 points, and with eight of those coming in the second half.
I wonder, just an adjustment that I'm noodling in my head, if you knowing Billy Donovan's substitution pattern is very consistent. And Paul George does play 38 minutes, so I'm only talking about 10 minutes. But I wonder if you do something to make sure that Joe Ingles spends the 10 minutes that Paul George is off the floor on the floor. So in those 10 minutes, you can run the offense through Joe.
You know, that's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, you just have to – it's all about managing a basketball game. You know, just like you manage anything else, just, okay, if Paul is disrupting what we're trying to do with Joe Ingles out there on the floor, when Paul's off the floor, we want to make sure we have Joe in there. Well, maybe that'll happen. But that's all a part of managing a game.
Let's go to Donovan and wrap this up. Actually, one other topic we'll hit before we're done. But Donovan, 11 of 22, did hurt his foot during the game, so that's going to be a little bit of a concern. He had 27 points in his debut. Brandon Jennings is the last one to surpass that in 2010. Derrick Rose did it in 2009. He just continues. It's only been done 27 points as a rookie in their first playoff game. It's only been done, I think, 9 times or 11 times, something in that range I don't have in front of me in NBA history. This kid was just great tonight.
Well, he's far ahead of, I think, of any rookie that the Jazz have had. I mean, I think he's probably ahead of Darren when Darren came into the league because he is reliable.
He's going to have a better career than Darren.
He's probably going to have a better career than Darren there as well. And so I'm just happy for him. We know how hard he works, and I don't think we're going to see anything different. I just love the way he's playing.
Someone just sent a message that Donovan's the first player since LeBron to have 25 points and 10 rebounds. Is that as a rookie? LeBron didn't make the playoffs as a rookie, so is that just the first person since LeBron to have 25-10 in the playoffs last year? I don't know what that meant, but somebody told me to. And if you're in the same sense as LeBron, it's good. 25-10. All right, one other note. Ricky Rubio plays his first playoff game. He goes 5 of 18 for 13 points. 18 shots, 13 points, very hard to win when you have that going on. Do you think tonight was nerves? Do you think that the speed of the Thunder, I mean, you cannot have a more physically demanding matchup than dealing with Russell Westbrook? What's your thought on what happened to Ricky tonight?
I'm not afraid of the way Rubio played. You know, the hard thing about this is that you're looking at Joe Ingles. I'm sorry, Rudy Gobert with 8 shots, Derek Favors with 7 shots, and then you got Joe Ingles with 9 shots, 10 shots for Crowder off the bench. So if those guys are struggling and they're not getting a position to score, then it's going to have to be Rubio that's going to have to put up those shots. I don't think he played any different tonight than he's been playing, you know, throughout this stretch where the Jazz have been so successful. It's just that he was unable to get the basketball to our big man, you know, down in the paint. Hopefully we can get a little bit more out of Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert in the scoring department, but you know, that's not enough shots for those guys in the paint.
All right, so that wraps us up. Jazz fall tonight. Thunder also, by the way, went 14 of 29 from three. They're not a particularly good three-point shooting team. I think this is as good as the Thunder can be. Now, what we don't know is whether the Jazz were not great because of how good the Thunder are, and that could continue to game two. But I will leave you – I had TV. We did 2 good notes and 2 bad notes. I'll give you a good and a bad in a second, but Ron has one more thing.
One more thing, because the defense of the Thunder, one thing we were very concerned with was their perimeter defense on how they want to blow up things out there on the Jazz dribble handoffs and their pick and roll and put the Jazz in a short clock. I thought they accomplished that, especially early in the ball game, especially that first half. But the Jazz, you know, you start to make some adjustments and get into it. That's something we're going to have to watch to see what kind of adjustments the Jazz are going to make with that.
All right, the good news for you is that if you look back, or actually I'll go bad news first. The bad news for you is that the team that wins game one wins about 81% of the series. The good news for you is if you look at the history of game one versus game two of teams at home, game two is when home teams lose. You can get that one at about a 55% rate. You only get the first one at about a 20% rate.
Well, if you want to go that route, David, and you want a little encouragement for our fans, is that how often has the 5 seed beat the 4 seed here as of late?
A lot. The problem is that Indiana beat Cleveland the other day today, like whooped their ass. And so you're a little nervous that Indiana might be the 5 seed that's beating the 4 seed. Have a good night.